Today, I'd like to share with you Anattapindika Vada Sutta. 20 years ago, when I first read this sutta, I was so shocked and so impressed by this sutta. Even until now, I'm still impressed by this sutta. And today's sutta is not supposed to preach to the lay person. But we believe that there are some lay person, there are lay persons who have only few dust in their eyes. For those who have only few dust in their eyes, then they are able to comprehend this profound sutta. That's why today I'm happy to share with you this advice to Anattapindika Sutta. And we all know who is Anattapindika, the devotees foremost in generosity to support the Lord Buddha, to support the teaching of the Buddha. And he was Sotapanna. When he first heard about the name of Buddha, his whole body was filled with joy, so much rapture. Then he cannot wait any further. So he departed at night to go to Buddha's place to meet Buddha. So when he met with Buddha, Buddha gave him a short talk and he became Sotapanna. So Anattapindika is Sotapanna, the great supporter of the Buddha. And at this moment, when he gets older and older, he becomes very ill. He was very ill, afflicted. Then he addressed a certain man, asked a certain man to go to the Blessed One and pay homage in his name with the head at Blessed One's feet, and say, "Venerable Sir, the householder Anattapindika is afflicted, suffering, and ill. He pays homage with his head at the Blessed One's feet." Then after that, he asked the man to go to the Venerable Sariputta and pay homage in his name with the head at Venerable Sariputta's feet, and ask Venerable Sariputta to come and visit him out of compassion. And the man followed what the Anattapindika's word, and first pay homage to the Blessed One, then pay homage to the Venerable Sariputta, and ask Venerable Sariputta to come to visit Anattapindika. Then Venerable Ananda follow Venerable Sariputta to become his attendant, and they came to Anattapindika's house. Then the Venerable Sariputta said to the householder Anattapindika when he arrived. He said, "I hope you are getting well, householder. I hope you are comfortable. I hope your painful feelings are subsiding and not increasing. And that they are subsiding, not their increase, is apparent." And Anattapindika said that, "Venerable Sariputta, I am not getting well. I am not comfortable. My painful feelings are increasing, not subsiding. Their increase and not their subsiding is apparent. Just as if, just as if a strong man were splitting my head open with a sharp sword, so too violent winds cut through my head. I'm not getting well. Just as if a skilled butcher were to cut up an ox belly with a sharp butcher's knife, so too violent winds are cutting up my belly. I am not getting well. Just as if two strong men were to seize a weaker man by both arms and roast him over a pitch of hot charcoal, so too there is a violent burning in my body. I am not getting well. I am not comfortable. My painful feelings are increasing, not subsiding, and their increase and not their subsiding is apparent. So please imagine, Anatta Pindika is stream enterer, and during his dying moment, there's so much pain he had to endure. So most people die in pain. We fear of dying. During a dying moment, there's a lot of pain occur in the body. That's why most people cannot die peacefully because of the pain. If your mind is weak, then it becomes even worse. Even the Sotapanna like Ananda Pindika complains so much about his pain. Imagine if we do not train our mind now, how are we going to cope with our death? So then Venerable Sariputta start preach the Dhamma to Ananda Pindika. He said, householder, you should train thus. I will not cling to the I, and my consciousness will not be dependent on the I. Thus you should train yourself. Why, if the consciousness depend on the I, what will happen? He said, I will not, please train yourself, I will not cling to the I, and my consciousness will not be dependent on the I. If consciousness arises dependent on the I, dependent on consciousness, mind and body. Dependent on mind and body, what? Contact. No, sorry, six sense spaces. Depend on six sense spaces, contact. Depend on contact, feeling. Depend on feeling, craving. Depend on craving, clinging. Depend on clinging, becoming. Depend on becoming, birth. Aging, death. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, despair. Thus arise the whole mess of suffering. That's why he asked Ananda Pindika, you should not cling to the I. Okay, what is this I you understand? If you practice four elements meditation, now you can see the whole body is composed of billions of particles, including your eye here. So when you look at this area, you only can see particles arising, passing away, arising, passing away, arising, passing away. And that is one element we call transparent element here, which is very sensitive towards the light. This is called eye transparent element. What you call eye is only conventional truth. It's only conventional truth. Actually, eye is eye transparent element. And this also arising and passing away. If you can see here, you see this eye transparent element, which is sensitive towards light, and this also arising, passing away. So where should we cling to something which is arising and passing away? So Venerable Sariputta asked him not to cling to the eye, because the eye is keep on arising and passing away. This one reason. Another reason, if you cling to the eye, consciousness will arise dependent on the eye. When consciousness arises, mind and body, namarupa, namarupa paccaya salayatana, salayatana paccaya paso, paso paccaya vedana. So the whole chain of dependent origination will continue. Then we continue. You should train yourself thus. I will not cling to the ear. Ear is same. Ear is also made up by billions of particles. Ear is only conventional truth. What actually exists is ear transparent element. This is also arising and passing away here. It's very sensitive towards sound. So if you're a yogi, discern the, the whole body is composed by particles, and if he discern the particles here, he can feel, certain transparent element which is very sensitive towards sound. He can feel the sound impinge that point. Then this ear transparent element is also arising and passing away, arising and passing away. So thus you should not cling to the ear. Venerable Sariputta, a shin should not cling to the ear. If you cling to you should train yourself thus, I will not cling to the ear, and my consciousness will not be dependent on the ear. Same as nose, same. Tongue, you should not cling to the nose, should not cling to the tongue, you should not cling to the body, and you should not cling to the mind. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the mind. Thus, you should train yourself. So here, clinging. Clinging occur in two ways. I think I have mentioned this before. What are the two ways? Clinging occur by way of what?
View of self.
View, okay, very good. Another one?
Great.
Very good. I'm satisfied. So clinging, we cling to certain things by two ways. One is by way of craving, another is by way of view. This one, please key in your computer. Don't key in all the unnecessary things. Key in the important one. So clinging, occurs by way of craving and view too. But since Ananda Pindika has become Sotapanna, so he has no this personality view. But he still has clinging and craving. Still has craving to the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind. Okay, so this is six, so not cling to this. This six is called six internal bases. Eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind are called six internal bases. So, Venerable Ananda, Venerable Sariputta urged Ananda Pindika not to cling to six internal bases. Because if you cling, and the consciousness should not arise, depend on these six internal bases. Okay. Then after that, he continued. Venerable Sariputta continued. Householder, you should train thus. I will not cling to form. I will not cling to sounds. I will not cling to odors, a smell. I will not cling to flavors. And I will not cling to tangible objects, and I will not cling to my object. And my consciousness will not be dependent on my objects. Thus, you should train yourself. So everyone has clinging towards the six internal bases, my eye, my ear, by way of craving and by way of view. Not only that, we also cling to the external six sense object. A pleasant visible object, pleasant sound, pleasant smell, pleasant taste, and pleasant bodily touch. So you want to sleep in a hotel only. you want to wear very soft clothes. You don't want to sleep on the rough place. So you have attachment to the touch. soft touch. And also mind object, whatever you think of, you cling to it. Any mind objects. So we have clinging towards six internal bases as well as external six objects, six sense objects. If there's clinging, the consciousness will arise. When the consciousness arises, mind and body will arise, mind and matter. When mind and matter arise, contacts, six sense spaces. When there's six sense spaces, there's contact. When there's contact, there's feeling. When there's feeling, there is craving. When there's craving, there's clinging. When there's clinging, there's becoming. When there's becoming, there's birth. When there's birth, there's sorrow, death, and so on. Thus arise the whole mess of suffering. So you must see far. One moment of craving bring along all the chain of dependent origination. Okay. Then Ananda Pindika continue. Householder, you should train thus. I will not cling to eye consciousness. I will not cling to ear consciousness. I will not cling to nose consciousness. I will not cling to tongue consciousness. I will not cling to body consciousness. I will not cling to mind consciousness. And my consciousness will not be. And my consciousness will not be dependent on my consciousness. Thus you should train yourself. This is sixth type of consciousness. When the moment the visible object impinges the eye sensitivity, then eye consciousness arises. So when eye consciousness arises seeing something, then we start to cling. We start to cling our seeing. We start to cling our hearing. We start to cling our smelling. We start to cling our tasting. And we start to cling our bodily touch. And we start to cling our mind consciousness. Then, because of that, then consciousness arises again and again. When it arises consciousness, they arise mind, matter, and so on. So don't cling to six sense consciousness. Next, then he continued, householder, you should train thus. I will not cling to eye contact. I will not cling to ear contact, sound, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, and mind contact, six contacts. I will not cling to any contact, whether pleasant or whether the good sound impinge to your ear. Don't cling to that contact. And don't cling to what you see when a visible object impinge your eye. Don't cling to that contact. Okay, so six contacts. Then he follow, then he continue. Venerable Sariputta continue. Householder, you should train thus. I will not cling to feeling born of eye contact. I will not cling to feeling born of ear contact. I will not cling to feeling born of nose contact. I will not cling to feeling born of tongue contact. I will not cling to feeling born of body contact. I will not cling to feeling born of mind contact. And my consciousness will not be dependent on feeling born of mind contact. My contact. Thus, you should train yourself. So, six type of feeling. Six type of feeling. Each feeling born of eye contact can be divided. We have three types. Eye contact. When a visible, a pleasant visible object contact the eye, we have pleasant feeling. When disagreeable visible object contact the eye, we have unpleasant feeling. When neutral object impinge the eye, we have neutral feeling. So each eye contact has three types of feeling. Ear contact has three. Nose contact, the feeling born of nose contact also has three. So all 18. Okay. Venerable Sariputta keep on asking the Anatta Pindika not to cling. How not to cling? How? I also can tell not to cling this, not to cling that, but how to do? That's the important one. Okay, how to do? Seven, how to do?
Practice impossible.
How to practice?
contemplate it as not self, as suffering and
Very good. Now you all become so good in meditation already. I'm satisfied. Huh? Yes. How not to cling? Only when you can see it's arising and passing away. Only when you contemplate pleasant feeling is also impermanent. Pleasant feeling is also non-self. Only that your mind will not cling. If you pleasant feeling, you forget your mindfulness. First, mindfulness. First. Second, wisdom. Huh? Mindfulness know what has arisen in you. Wisdom penetrate into its impermanency, its non-self nature, its cause and effect, its conditioner. So if you have these two, mindfulness and wisdom in your practice, you are safe. Yeah? You are very safe. Whatever contact come to you, you don't have to be afraid of it because you know how to contemplate. Yeah? What you should be afraid of, you lose your mindfulness or you lose your wisdom. So, because anatta pindika is sotapanna, so Venerable Sariputta no need to give such detail. He know how to contemplate already, but we don't know, so we must explain in detail. No? So how not to cling? Only you can contemplate its impermanency, seeing its arising and passing away, knowing it is not self, knowing it's just a cause and effect, then your mind will automatically let go of it. That letting go is the freedom of your heart. Then you will not cling. No. If you do not cling to something, clinging ceases. Okay? When clinging ceases, becoming ceases. When becoming ceases, birth ceases. When birth ceases, aging ceases. Death ceases, no, death will not occur. When there's no death, no sorrow, no lamentation, no suffering, no despair, thus the whole mess of suffering come to cessation, come to cease. That is how you can break the chain of dependent origination by contemplating impermanence of whatever phenomena, whether it's eye contact, or whether it's feeling, or whether it's, your eye consciousness. This is how to break the whole change of dependent origination. Suppose you are not mindful, the clinging arise or craving arise first. When a pleasant feeling arises in you, then you are not mindful. You never practice vipassana, so you enjoy your feeling. Sure, this is nature of the mind, to enjoy the feeling. So depend on the feeling, then craving arises. Craving arises. Depend on craving, clinging arises. Just like, but if you can contemplate impermanency, then feeling ceases there. When feeling ceases, craving ceases. When craving ceases, clinging ceases. Just like a oil lamp. Oil lamp is burning with the fuel, the oil, oil. So because of the oil lamp keep on burning. Suppose you do not put any oil, you let it burn, but you never add in new oil. So after burning for some times, will the oil lamp come to extinguish or not? Yes. So also, when whatever feeling, whatever mental, mind and body, whatever phenomena arise in your mind, if you contemplate impermanent, then craving ceases. Craving ceases, then you are not putting the new oil in the lamp. Another time, whatever feeling arise, whatever sensation arise, you contemplate impermanent. So every time you contemplate impermanence, non-self, cause and condition, then you are not putting, you stop putting the oil into the oil lamp. Then after some times, the oil lamp will extinguish automatically because you are not adding the oil inside. But on the other hand, you never contemplate. whatever feeling comes, you welcome him. You delight, you hold on to it. You welcome it, whatever, you know, pleasant or unpleasant, you delight in it. Then every time you delight in it, you are putting the oil, craving. Delight is craving. Huh? So you're putting the oil into your oil lamp again. Every time you never contemplate impermanency. Keep on putting the oil into your oil lamp. Okay, may I ask you, when the oil lamp can come to extinguishment? Never. Never, because you keep on giving the fuel to the oil lamp. So the oil lamp will never cease, will never come to extinguish. This example is so easy to understand, you know. So this is the way how you can liberate yourself from suffering. Huh? By contemplate impermanency, non-self, and cause and effect. So one moment of mindfulness followed by wisdom, you are cutting the chain of the dependent origination. Is it clear? Okay, good. So mindfulness and wisdom is so important, huh, in Vipassana practice. Okay, then Venerable Sariputta continued. He said, householder, you should clean dust. I will not cling to the earth element. Now feeling six types of feelings finished. Now come to the body. I will not cling to the earth element. I will not cling to the water element. I will not cling to the fire element. I will not cling to the air element. I will not cling to the space element, and I will not cling to the consciousness element, and my consciousness will not be dependent on the consciousness, on this six type of element. The first four earth element, water, fire, and wind element make up this body, make up the body. So if you cling to the earth element by way of craving and by way of view, then you are clinging to your body. So when there's clinging, there is becoming. When there's clinging, there's karmic potency, there's karmic force. When there's clinging, there's karmic force. That karmic force will produce new rebirth. If I say becoming, you may not be able to understand what, you know. So don't cling to this four element. Just know element as element. But don't cling to it as I, mine, myself. And also space element. What is space element? For example, the ear hole, which has space, the nostril inside, also called space element. And the last one, consciousness element. All type of consciousness. Whether I consciousness, ear consciousness, or my consciousness. All type of consciousness. So this means that mind and body. Don't cling to mind and body. Because when you cling to it, consciousness will arise depending on it. Then followed by mind and body, follow the whole chain of dependent origination will continue. Okay. So the next one, he said, Venerable Sariputta continued, householder, you should train thus. I will not cling to material form. I will not cling to feeling. I will not cling to perception. I will not cling to formations. I will not cling to consciousness. And my consciousness will not be dependent on consciousness. And my consciousness will not be dependent on these five aggregates of clinging. Now, Venerable Sariputta talked about five aggregates of clinging. Material form, feelings, perception, formation, and consciousness. So Venerable Sariputta trying to teach every minute detail that we tend to cling, either earth element or five aggregate or eye consciousness or feeling, you know, but every details that we are inclined to cling. So Venerable Sariputta try to guide him, true. Hopefully he may guide him to the attainment of Arahantship, not to cling to whatsoever. So now he asks not to cling to this five aggregates of clinging, because five aggregates of clinging are the cause of all sufferings. What is the normal truth of suffering? What's the normal truth of suffering?
That craving is the cause of suffering.
I'm not asking cause, I'm asking what is the normal truth of suffering? What is the noble truth of the suffering? Yes. Five aggregates of clinging are the noble truth is of the suffering. So he asked him not to cling to these five aggregates of clinging, because they are the truth of suffering. They bring suffering. The more you cling to it, the more suffering you have to encounter. Huh? Okay, the next one, the Venerable Sariputta continue, householder, you should train thus, I will not cling to the base of infinite space. Now he talked about the four immaterial jhana. I will not cling to the base of infinite consciousness. I will not cling to the base of nothingness. I will not cling to the base of neither perception nor non-perception. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the base of neither perception nor non-perception. Thus, you should train yourself. If a person has the base of infinite space, you have this jhana, immaterial jhana, and you cling to it, what will happen?
Rebirth.
Rebirth will take place in the same realm, base of infinite space. But if you, only when you can maintain it up to dying moment. Suppose now you have four jhana, you have the base of infinite space. But during your dying moment, you lose your jhana. Then you cannot be reborn in the realm of the base of infinite space. What we have now, we may not be able to maintain it during our dying moment. Only those who can maintain it up to the dying moment, they can be reborn at that realm. So, the Venerable Sariputta asked him not to cling to any of this immaterial jhana, so that they will not. So that anatta pindika will not take rebirth in the respective realm of existence, because he wants to guide him to the attainment of arahant. Okay, the next one, householder, you should train thus, I will not cling to this world. And my consciousness will not be dependent on this world. I will not cling to the world beyond. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the world beyond. Thus, you should train thus. You should not cling to this world, because we still love our life. Right? We have a lot of attachment to our life. So we cling to this world. We don't want to die. So when it's clinging, this karmic potency. And also, many of us still crave for another life. This is sometimes when we do some good deeds, we pray to reborn in the heaven. We pray to reborn as a wealthy person, as educated person. We pray to be reborn in America. So we still crave for another life. Although you may not pray, but your mind is still inclined to have another life. So if your mind inclined to have another life, then this is called craving for existence. When this craving for existence then the rebirth will take place. So, Venerable Sariputta advised him not to cling to this world as well as the world beyond. Okay. Householder, the last one, the Venerable Sariputta said, householder, you should train thus. I will not cling to what is seen, heard, sensed, cognized, encountered, sought after, and examined by the mind. What you see, what you hear, what you sense through the bodily touch, what you cognize through your mind, what you encountered, what you sought after, what you examine again and again in your mind, you should not cling to all these things. And your mind, and train yourself, and mind consciousness will not be dependent on that, on what you have seen, what you have heard, what you have touched, sensed, and so on. So all the minute details, Venerable Sariputta asks him not to cling. Okay, how not to cling? How? to double check again. So contemplate impermanent. Whatever you see, even what you think is correct, also let go, must let go. Even finally, as I say, the raft, the day at Vaipar Sutta, you need the raft to cross over to the other shore. Once you cross over already, you also have to give up that raft. Don't cling to that raft anymore. There's a story it's a sutta in, I think it's Snake Sutta or What Sutta, Majjhima Nikaya. He said that a man, after using the raft and cross over the stream, and he think that because of this raft, I'm able to cross over. This raft is so useful to me. I shouldn't abandon it. Why not I carry it on my back and continue? So he carried the raft on the back on the road. So even the good one also you must abandon, not to speak the unwholesome. What Buddha want to say, even the wholesome things, you also should not cling to it, not to speak unwholesome things. The raft is a vehicle, now already finished, no use already, then give it up, abandon it. So whatever you examine in your mind, is very good, but after that also, don't cling to it, let go of it. Okay, so when this was said, after finished all, when this was said, the householder Anatta Pindika wept and shed tears. Then the Venerable Ananda asked him, are you sinking? Because he saw him weeping. Whenever Ananda asked the Ananda Pindika, are you sinking? Then whenever Ananda Pindika said, I'm not sinking, Venerable Ananda. But although I have long waited upon the teacher and the bhikkhus worthy of esteem, never before have I heard such a talk on the Dhamma. Ananda Pindika is a great supporter of the Buddha, associated with Buddha for so many years. Then he said that never he had heard such profound Dhamma, So he was so touched, so he shed his tears. Then Venerable Sariputta said, such profound Dhamma is not given to lay person. Such profound Dhamma is not given to lay person or to the person clothed in white, to a lay person. Such talk on the Dhamma is given to those who have gone forth, who have renounced the world. Because it leads to a completely detachment. So if a lay person, you know, you lay person, you have your own family, you have business, you've got to earn your livelihood. If you let go anything, you cannot live in the world. You know, you got to plan how to earn money, you know. Then you got to keep up the planning how to earn money, then how are you going to, you know, to earn your livelihood. So such talk is not to give to the lay person. Not because they are unable to comprehend, because they can't do it. Huh? They can't do it. But Anatta Pindika urged Venerable Sariputta. He said, well then, Venerable Sariputta, let such talk on the Dharma be given to lay person. They are cleansed men with little dust in their eyes, who are wasting away through not hearing such profound talk. And it's also why today I choose this talk. Because I think most of you have only little dust. Little dust in your eyes. You are able to comprehend. So for those who have little dust in the eye, by not listening to this profound talk, they are wasting their time. They meditate, don't know how to contemplate. Huh? They're wasting their time only. So for those who have little eyes, little dust in the eyes, when they listen to such non-clinging whatsoever, then they know how to contemplate, they how to meditate. So they are not wasting their time. They are not waste away their life. That's why Ananda Pindika urged Venerable Sariputta must give such profound talk, because they are few person, they are person who have little dust on them. So this, those who have little dust, they are able to understand this type of profound teaching. Then after giving the householder Ananda Pindika this advice, the Venerable Sariputta and the Venerable Ananda went back, rose from their seats and departed. Soon after that, they had left the householder Ananda Pindika died, passed away, and reappeared in the Tusita heaven. Immediately reappeared in the Tusita heaven, because to be reborn in the heaven is called spontaneous birth. Not like human birth, have to go through, you know, mother's womb for 10 months. But to reborn in heaven is called spontaneous birth. Then when he reappeared in the Tusita heaven, then he came down to the Jetavana monastery as a deva and praised the Venerable Sariputta. And the Buddha told all the monks, this deva who praised the Venerable Sariputta is Ananda Pindika. Thus, the end of this sutta. Is it good? I like this sutta very much. Why I like this sutta? I told you already 20 years ago when I first read this sutta, I was so shocked. Why? Because at that time I'm really new in the teaching of the Buddha. So whatever I see, whatever I hear, whatever my feeling, everything I cling to it. Because no one teach me not to cling. So whatever I hear, you know, I sense, I feel, everything I cling to it. Now suddenly I read this sutta, everything also you should not cling. I was so shocked. And because of that, it gave me a very strong impression, even until now. Do you feel the same shock or not? Okay, any questions?
Well, I felt a similar shock, and I'm not sure if he gives the same message when the Buddha converted a Mahakasapa who worshipped fire with 1,000 other yogis, and he said, the eye is on fire, the form is on fire. Is it the same message as this?
Yes. But interpret in different ways. That one only mentioned 6 internal places, not so detailed like this one. This one very detailed. This has led to attainment of arahantship. But unfortunately, Anathapindika do not attain any further distinctions. He died as only Sotapan. Sometimes, you know, the wisdom not matured yet. Sometimes, for certain person, they want to enjoy another certain lifetime before they become arahant. They don't incline to become arahant. So they also cannot become arahant. No.
Do we know what the teaching was that made him a stream enter?
Oh, to him?
Yeah.
I forgot it.
But it is recorded?
I mean the teaching to Anathapindika?
That the Buddha gave him?
I think it's in Dhammapada. Maybe in Dhammapada. Mm-hmm. I forgot the content.
How to strengthen your wisdom? I thought you were born with it.
You're born with it with a little bit degree. You have some degree of it. If born with it, everybody can become Buddha already. You know, you need to cultivate, need to develop it. So you come to the practice samatha meditation, then mindful of whatever arises. You train the mindfulness first. Without mindfulness, you also cannot develop wisdom. Because whatever arises and you also do not know how you contemplate. You know, you cultivate the mindfulness, then followed by wisdom as much as possible.
So for an insane person living in this world, there's no wisdom to that person?
Yes. They cannot meditate. But if that karma exhausted, no? That karma also will be exhausted. When that karma exhausted, then they become normal and they can meditate again. Okay, any other question? Yes? Yes, it's not mentioned here. Yes. Sure. First jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. We are sure to cling to it. But it's not mentioned in this sutta. Should we cling to it? Why should we cling to it? Anything, no clinging whatsoever. Why should we cling to it? Mm-hmm. Maybe Anathapindika has intention to reborn in the four Arupa world or something like that. So he only tells. It's not mentioned in the commentary, we do not know. You got to investigate. For example, your feeling arises in you. Then you investigate what's the cause of this feeling. Buddha already laid down, you know, what is the cause? Contact is the cause. Then you contemplate contact is impermanent, cause also impermanent, contact is impermanent, cause also feeling also impermanent. Feeling also impermanent, you know. So if you can follow dependent origination, it's very clear, no? Buddha already listed all the causes for each one. And sometimes you also can investigate yourself, because your cause and my cause is different. You know? Your cause and my cause are different. So you investigate yourself, find out your own causes. Okay, the cause for suffering is what? Craving. It's very easy. So when you suffer the time, you've tried to find out what makes me suffering and only craving. If you want to go to more detail, then you follow the Buddha one contact, then go back, trace back, then forward, backward, again and again. Okay.
Can you give an exact definition of clinging? Is it just more intense craving, or it's
yes,
something different?
More intense craving. Clinging means more intense. Clinging means more intense craving. There are four types of clinging. Do you know that?
Mm. Grasping.
There are four types of clinging. Clinging to atta, self, doctrine of self. Clinging to view. Clinging to rights and riches. In other words, clinging to what? Clinging to sensual pleasures, I think. Kamupadana is clinging to sensual pleasures, clinging to view, clinging to rights and riches, and clinging to doctrine of self. There are four types of clinging. Rights and riches, yisi.
Then a sotapanna is only clinging to sensual pleasures?
Yes. Eradicate clinging to rights and riches, doctrine of self, and another one?
View?
Yes, view. Yes.
Wrong?
Yes. Personal
doubt?
Not doubt.
About this?
Vichikicca is doubt and rights and riches and personality view. Sotapan has eradicated three. Yeah? Three factors: personality view or identity view, doubt about the triple gems, and the rights and riches. Why Sotapan does not cling to rights and riches? Because Sotapan himself, by walking the noble eightfold path, already reached the Nibbana. So in his heart, he only believed noble eightfold path. Except noble eightfold path, whatever rights and riches, asking this, hopping this path, all he knows is not the right path. Nowadays, a lot of this, rights and riches, worshipping, asking, praying for something, you know. Sotapan will never do that. We'll never do that. Okay. Any other questions? Yes. Investigate has thinking mind. But it's not restlessness, you know. No, when certain arise in you, for some feeling arise in you, sometimes you contemplate feeling as impermanent, you also contemplate the cause of this feeling. Why feeling arises? Only when you contemplate, you understand, oh, because of cause, effect arise. If you do not contemplate, you always think feeling impermanent, not enough. Huh? You contemplate, oh, why feeling arises? Why pleasant feeling? Before that, I have no pleasant feeling. Why now arises? You contemplate, then you find out, oh, because of what eye contact, ear contact, or mind contact, then this feeling arises. Then you understand it's just the effect of the cause. Then your understanding becomes stronger, your understanding becomes deeper, strengthening your wisdom faculty.
And how do you
Even you let go, sometimes it will arise again and again. For example, anger. Okay, now at this moment I'm very angry, but I contemplate impermanent, non-self, then I let go, pass away. But of course it will arise again because we have not yet completely uprooted this anger. It will arise again. If you mentally contemplate impermanency, cause and effect, non-self, I don't think it's suppressed. But you don't expect it will never arise again because we have not yet uprooted the anger. Sure, anger will arise again. Yes. And sometimes it may not pass away also. But sometimes it may not pass away. It's okay, no problem, you know. Finally, it will pass away. Depend on the wisdom. How sharp is the wisdom to see it's arising and passing away? You can divert your attention to other things, no problem. You can, you know, if you do not divert to other, then you still feel anger. Then you do something else. Ignore the anger.
Is this wisdom related to the intellect that you understand?
Okay, we have three types of wisdom. One is called sutta, sutta maya panya. Sutta maya panya. Wisdom through listening to talk, listening to the Dharma. Like today, you listen to the Dharma, you got this wisdom, not to cling to anything. Second, we have cinta maya panya. Cinta maya panya. Wisdom through reflections. That's very important also. Our Lord Buddha, before become enlightenment, he is very strong, this cinta maya panya. He said when he see the old person, sick person, and monk, he start to reflect, you know. We see nothing happen to us. We see the dead all the time, you know. Nothing. So our cinta maya panya is not so strong. And the last one is called bhavana panya. Bhavana maya panya. Wisdom through development, through cultivation, through meditation. So three types of wisdom. First, wisdom through listening to Dharma. Second, wisdom through reflection. When you see, for example, you see a lot of things, you know, oh, everything's impermanent. Even Buddha didn't teach you. You also know how to reflect. Everything is impermanent. It's called cinta maya panya. Then another one is through practical experience. You come to meditation, then you really experience anicca, dukkha, anatta. Then it's called bhavana maya panya. Three types of wisdom. Okay?
We're to contemplate impermanence and not self and cause and effect. But is it still fruitful to be contemplating suffering also?
Yes. For example, when you keep on seeing the phenomena arising in your body, you know, and your mind have to keep on looking at it, your mind have to keep on looking at it, then you also feel the sense of suffering. So sometimes you contemplate suffering, but suffering, I discussed with my teacher as well, you know. My teacher also agreed with me that suffering is very difficult to discern. Very difficult to discern, and he said that those who are able to discern suffering, the ability to attain anagami is very, the chances is very good to attain anagami, because to discern suffering is not very easy.
This is a dangerous question, but if you practice in your life trying to attain this and you do not, do you think when you are close to death practicing, you have a better chance to attain? Because you only need to let go for a moment, but if you die, then...
Yes, many in the sutta we can read many monks during dying moment attain arahantship.
But because they just temporarily broke the chain? By contemplating it, and so it didn't get a chance to re-arise.
What do you mean temporarily? When he temporarily broke the chain?
Yeah, like if I have anger now, okay, and I contemplate, it will go away, but it will re-arise.
Yes.
But if I die right after it has gone away, then no chance to re-arise me.
How can no chance to arise?
Because I die.
Rebirth take place.
But having let go?
If it become arahant, of course, then it will not arise again. If you do not become arahant, of course it will arise again.
But that's what I'm saying, that the craving I contemplate, I let go just at that moment as I am dying, so it does not re-arise, so no rebirth linking consciousness.
That is called momentary. We have two types of nibbana. We have two types of cessation, called momentary cessation. Another one is completely cessation. If you, during your dying moment, if you contemplate craving, then craving ceases. It depends on what type of cessation. Is it temporary cessation or completely cessation? If temporary cessation, it will arise again in the next life. If completely cessation, it will not arise again. No, the root is important. You have not yet uproot the delusion. No, it will arise again. Only you will completely uproot the delusion, then it will not arise.
Because we don't know when, you know, some feelings are going to arise, or sometimes, you know, let's say the feelings arise just when the mindfulness is weak. So what's the best what's the best practice, like off the top of mind, to strengthen the mindfulness? Is there like, I mean, I know like the samadhi practices help, but what do you suggest? Like,
how to strengthen the mindfulness?
Instead of waiting for, not waiting, but instead of when it happens, and maybe just, you know, then how do we best more prepare for?
So when it comes, how to be more prepared when it comes, or what? They need very strong effort to be mindful at all time. This is called effort to be mindful at all time. Actually, feeling is always there. It's just that our mindfulness is so weak. Or we only can tackle the gross feeling. The lesser one, we forgot to be mindful. Actually, feeling is universal mental factors. Universal. It must arise without feeling. There's not a moment there's no feeling. Feeling is there all the time. Just that because some are very subtle, our mindfulness not so strong, you know, to recognize it. So it's all the time. I think another one way which is good, I think, be more mindful on the feeling and mind, on the mind rather than the physical. Then it trains your mind to be very fast to know what's happening in your mind. So whatever you walk, you sit, you pay attention on your heart area here. Because you pay attention on your heart area here. So whatever emotion comes, you know it. Emotion comes, you know it. This is how you train your mindfulness to become sharp. When you work or when in your work or during your daily life, you know, you pay more attention on your heart area here. And incline your mind to notice any emotion, or whether good or bad, come from here. And also, of course, it takes time, you know, because we are very new in this practice, so it takes time. Whatever emotion that you know it, then next time you become so familiar to you. Then whatever come, you know, let go. Whatever come, you know, let go. This is how I practice. Other way, I don't know. Okay, last question.
So when we do meditation, like which kind of meditation, whether we mix meditation, like today we do life, loving kindness, tomorrow we do breath meditation, is that okay? Can we change the meditation?
Sure. It's better to change because we have so many types of defilements. So certain type of meditation is to tackle certain defilements. You know, certain type of meditation is to overcome certain defilements. For example, anger. Loving kindness is to tackle, to overcome the anger. You know, the 32 part is to overcome the lust, to one's own body as well as another person's body. The anapana is to overcome the restlessness of mind. And then equanimity is to overcome, you know, your bias towards others than oneself. So certain meditation helps to overcome certain defilements. So it's good to learn different type of meditation. But you, if you can, we have a one main one. Other are called sub one. If for example your main one is anapana. So when you come to meditation, sit 1 hour, 2 hour, you do anapana. Other time you do other. When the occasion arises, for example anger, you know, you're very angry with this person. At this moment you cannot anapana, also cannot help you because mind cannot concentrate. So then you move to anger, you change to you change to loving kindness meditation. Okay, that's all for today.